all eyes on Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, but a good time to talk to one of the Republicans who always is outspoken, has a lot to say, insight on issues, personalities, and politics. His name is Christie. That's Chris Christie. He is the governor of New Jersey. He's been spending most of the day doing his governor's job. He's also been campaigning heavily in both New Hampshire and Iowa. Governor Christie, thanks very much for making time for us.
Oh, Michael, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me first off, you made some comments the other day that this media obsession, I was very glad to hear you say, because I happen to agree with you, the media obsession with, the Republicans can't even function as a party because they can't agree on a speaker in Washington, D.C., that all of that was overhyped, and this was very, very far from the concerns of ordinary Americans. You want to amplify on that? From your perspective, is really going on with the Congress and the apparent dysfunction of the Republican caucus in the House?
The entire Congress is dysfunctional, Michael, and that's what the American people are upset about. They, quite frankly, don't care who the speaker is. Most of the people that I meet today could care less and don't think that the Speaker of the House is going to have any impact upon their lives unless they get a Speaker of the House can actually get Congress to do what they're supposed to be doing, to actually do what they promised they would do, like pass tax reform, put it on the president's desk, pass some meaningful change to Obamacare and repeal and replace it with a market-based program, defund Planned Parenthood, put it on the president's desk. Fact is that they haven't done any of that. If the president wants to veto all that, let him veto it. Then everyone will know what the choice is next November, and they're going to have a very clear understanding of who the obstructionist is. What people out in the real world care about are, how am I going to get a better job? How am I going to help save money to put my kids to school? And are we going to be safe from a terrorist attack in this country as the world becomes an increasingly more dangerous place with a weakling in the Oval Office?
Okay, if we have somebody who's not a weakling, no one has ever called you that, if we have a President Christie in January of 2017, would you be comfortable working together with a Speaker of the House named Paul Ryan?
Listen, Paul Ryan is a great guy, and I've gotten to know Paul over the years. I think he's a smart, principled man, and I would have no problem working with Paul. And I'll tell you this, if Chris Christie's the president and Paul Ryan's the speaker, then our bloated, heading towards bankruptcy entitlement programs will be reformed, because we will team together to make sure that those entitlement programs are reformed so they're saved for the people who really need them.
And you're not talking about cutting benefits for middle-class Americans. You're not talking about taking away the benefits that people have contributed to all their lives, right?
No, this is much different. My plan is two easy steps. It's not like what you've heard from Governor Kasich, who wants people to take less money. My plan is this. First is to acknowledge that we're all living longer. The average life expectancy of a woman is 83. The average of a man is 79, right? So we now need to know that we need to raise the retirement age. So I say let's raise the retirement age 2 years, but phase it in over 25 years, because the people we're really looking to impact are our children and grandchildren. So that's 1 month a year for 25 years. Certainly no one, the world's not going to stop spinning on its axis for that. And secondly, I want to take Social Security benefits away from those who don't need it. So if you're making more than $200,000 a year in retirement income, that means you got $4 to $5 million liquid in the bank. Do you really need that $1,200 a month Social Security check? I don't think so. And the fact is that for the people who really do need it, the people who it makes a difference between rent and heat and food, those people will have a strong, secure Social Security program who really count on it. And those who don't need it, I know they paid into the system, but I'll tell you, Michael, there's lots of things you pay for over time you don't get money back for, like homeowners insurance. If you don't make a claim for 25 years, do you invite them to the closing when you sell the house and ask for the money back? You know, no. What you got was the security, the safety of knowing that if something did happen to your home, they'd be there to help you rebuild it. Should be the same for Social Security.
Okay, there have been two contributions to the campaign in the last couple of days, both of which I've read over in detail, and they're really impressive, and I wanted to get your response to them. Neither of them from the Chris Christie campaign. One of them is from Senator Rick Santorum, who released a detailed tax plan, and I know he's not running strongly as a candidate right now, but if you look at Rick Santorum's tax plan, it looks great to me. And then the other is the health care reform plan that was introduced by Governor Bush yesterday. Do you think both of those suggestions for policy changes are heading in the general right direction?
Well, listen, as the tax reform plan, I prefer the one that we put out last April, which had great detail to it. And we put it out in April because we wanted to get the conversation moving. And it's simplifying the tax code down to just two deductions or loopholes. That's it. The home mortgage deduction and the charitable contribution deduction.
He says the same thing.
Yep, and we put that out back in April, Michael. And so I think anything we could do to simplify the tax code, fire IRS agents, and make it easier for you to do your taxes so you can have lower rates and keep more of your money is a good thing. And I think it shows the vibrancy of the Republican Party.
Well, what about the ideas? What about the Bush replacement plan for Obamacare?
You know, I haven't read it yet, Michael. I know it just came out, and I have not read it yet. And so I think it would be unfair of me. All I've read is the news coverage of it, which I get very reluctant to comment on somebody's plan based on the news coverage. So we have the plan. It's in my briefcase. I'm going to take a read. And next time we're on, I'll give you my read on it.
Terrific. That plan will undoubtedly be attacked. Anything with the name Bush on it or Republican or Christie or anything will be attacked tonight by the Democrats. If you were advising one of the other Democrats who's not named Hillary Clinton what they should do to try to catch up with her in this debate, what would you tell them?
You know, I would let the American people know that you agree with them, that she's untrustworthy and non-responsive and does not belong being president of the United States because she will not be held accountable for things that she either does herself or are done on her watch. And I think that's the key element in the Democratic primary if you want to move yourself up from also-ran position to being competitive with Hillary Clinton. You need to tell the American people you agree with them she's not trustworthy. She's not the right person to be president of the United States because she refuses to be held accountable for anything she does and anything that's done on her watch.
We will be right back with a little bit more with Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. His strategy for catching up with the Republican front runners, what's he going to offer that will help his campaign catch fire? Jersey, he's in the middle of his second term. He is a candidate for president. Okay, what's going to kick you over, Governor Christie? How do you think it's going to work that you enter the top tier of candidates along with the likes of Ben Carson and Donald Trump?
Well, listen, I think the way it's going to happen is through hard work, the way it always happens in this country during these campaigns, is you have to have two things. You have to have really good ideas, and you have to work very hard. And no one is working harder than I am in this campaign. No one has spent more time in the state of New Hampshire than I have. And we're going to continue to work hard, and we will break through. You know, if the election were being held tomorrow, I'd be really concerned, but it's not. And people are really starting to think now about this. And as fall turns, you know, summer turns into fall and the football season continues, people will start to now put their focus on politics. And the people in Iowa and New Hampshire aren't voting now for, you know, another 3.5 months. So let's everybody take our time, study the candidates. And when they do, they're going to be looking for one thing. Who's the conservative on there who can win, who's been tested? And no one, Michael, on that stage that you'll see 2 weeks from tomorrow in Colorado, no one on that stage has been more tested than I've been in my political career. And that's the kind of person you're going to want to have on the stage against Hillary Rodham Clinton next fall.
Governor Christie, let me conclude by asking you sort of a rather personal question. You've been running for president for a while now. I mean, I remember very well your announcement of candidacy. It was a memorable announcement, very well received. What in the campaign so far has changed you, and in what way?
Oh, gosh, you know, Michael, I think that the biggest thing that's changed me is when you see how really desperate folks in the United States are, hungry they are for leadership. And what it does to you when you go out there and you see that on a person-to-person basis is it reminds you that this is not some parlor game like all the pundits talk about. That's why I got so upset at the last debate when Carly and Donald were yelling back and forth at each other about who made more money or less money or who was the best or worst CEO. And then, you know, Donald and Jeb talking about whether Jeb's wife was insulted and whether Jeb should speak Spanish or English. I thought to myself, the people I've met are insulted by that. And the way it changes you is that you really start to just push yourself away from the old style politics where people are just attacking each other and talking about each other. And instead you want to talk about what those people need from you to be able to have their lives be a little bit better. what kind of leadership can you provide? And I think it makes you much more solemn and serious. And I think
in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Thank you, Governor Christie.